Today's daf in Masechet Yevamot, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Nun Zayin, and we're holding the Halakha Mishnah on daf Nun Vav Amud Beit, and we are continuing our research into the issue of the Achila B'Truma and the special relationship to the Isurei Kohuna, to those dinim. So the Mishnah begins like this: Almana leKohen Gadol, Grusha veChalutza. L'kohen hedyot, min ha'erosin lo yochlu b'truma. So we have an interesting situation. A kohen gadol is not allowed to marry an almana, and if he does, he is mechalel her, not only the children that come from that union. And a regular kohen is not allowed to marry a grusha. We include chalutza, min rabbonon. But suppose he gave her kedushin, and he has not slept with her, so they're only in a state of erosin. Is that a problem? Because, I mean, on the one hand, the question would be, she is, after all, considered to be Kinyan Kaspo. Does that allow her to eat as an Arusa? So we said, actually, Midiraisa, it does. Now, let me tell you that there's some serious questions about the Girsa throughout the Sugya. And what I'm going to do to make things easier for us and much more reasonable is not to read the way Rashi learns, and to actually read the entire sugya the way Tosfos learns. And Tosfos excuses Rashi's horrific pshat because of the fact that he did not have an alternative girsa. But as Tosfos brings, since the Rabbeinu Chananel has this girsa and others have this girsa, we're going to read it with the Rabbeinu Chananel's girsa, and therefore we can explain the Gemara as not talking about whether or not the kohen is mezakeh in eating truma, but rather whether a bas kohen is allowed to continue eating truma in these circumstances. So therefore, let's read it like this: in almana the kohen gadol, grusha v'chalutza the kohen hedyot, who were Kohanot. They were born into a mishpacha of Kohanim, and they had been eating truma from before, truma that was coming from their family, because of the fact that they were Kohanot. Now that they are, I'll use the word engaged, but of course it doesn't mean engaged, Arusa means an actual Kenyan, and now they are in an illicit marriage, but they have not had illicit relations. So now the question is, does the very fact that she is in an illicit marriage, does that prohibit her from eating the truma from her father that she always used to eat? So according to the Tanna Kamma, it does. That introduces a new concept, which should please be put into your list of concepts, which is mishtameret lebi'a psula, or lebi'a asura. A woman who has been put into a situation that is setting her up, so to speak, to be wrecked by an iserbia, is considered already to be psula in advance of such relations. So therefore, according to the Tanna Kamma, the very fact that she is set up with this illicit marriage prohibits her from eating truma, even though she was eating truma before, from their family's truma. Whereas Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, they're machshir, because they say there's no such thing as set up. Either she was nivelet or she wasn't nivelet. In this case, she wasn't nivelet, so why should she be asura? Everybody agrees that if the end of that erusin is brought about either through the death of the kohen that had gone ahead and married her, or through the divorce from that kohen who had gone ahead and married her, then that would depend. If it was only Mina Erison, then it's for sure okay, because she never ended up sleeping with him, so her situation was never destroyed. She never became a halala, and there's no longer the problem of being involved in an illicit relationship, which is a sex-free relationship, but still, it's an illicit relationship, which is Erison, because he's dead, or he was Megarisha. So therefore, there's no problem as long as she had never been nivelet. On the other hand, if she was nisgarsha or nisarbalo, mina nisuin, and she had ended up actually going to the chuppah and therefore assuredly having had relations with this Kohen, then she became a Chalala, and she is Psula. Now, the Shita of the Tanakhama is the Shita of Rabbi Meir. And therefore, Tanya, the Gemara says, Omer Rabbi Meir in a Braita to explain his Shita, that for sure she should be Psula, if she's Mishtameret, to be a Psula. So Rabbi Meir says like this, Kal v'chomer, Uma kidushei rishut, ein ma'achilin. Now this makes no sense, as you can say, because we're not talking about being ma'achilin. We've been talking about, in our presentation, of kidushei, the whole issue of here is whether it asers her, not whether it can be ma'achil her. Here is where Rashi gets into a horrific bind, because he has to understand kiddushei reshut, meaning just normal kiddushin to anybody, meaning just to a Yisrael even, which is absurd. So, okay, he tries to justify it, but it's very difficult. However, what Tosfos does is he brings another girsa, is that ma kiddushei reshut post lin, that if you have kiddushin, of which is a kiddushin, not like Rashi says, which is a psul, in terms of a Yisrael that's mikadesh, but rather what we're talking about over here is that the moment that she would get married, so she no longer would be able to eat truma if she's married to a non-kohen. So kiddushei avera lo kol shekein. So certainly if she's married to someone who, if he does consummate the marriage, is going to wreck her to the kahuna bichlal, for sure that should not be ma'achil b'truma. And the problem with that logic is very clear. Omrulo, what do you mean kiddushei reshut? I mean, that's because the kiddushim was to a Yisrael, and a Yisrael cannot be ma'achil b'truma. What does that have to do with the situation over here? Over here, she's married to a Kohen. She's been eating truma up until now from the truma of her father's family. So that's the Beinash, right? And now you want to say that the marriage to this Kohen, despite the fact that he never slept with her and that there's only a potential for her ruination if he does take her to bed, that therefore she should be in advance psula? How does that follow? It's not the same at all. And therefore, they said to Rabbi Meir, Amrulo, lo imar mepikidushe reshut, shekein ein lo lahachil b'mokom acher. Obviously, if she goes in and she gets married to a non-Kohen, then the din is that marriage to a non-Kohen takes her out of her rights of eating truma that she had before. But marriage to a Kohen, in this case, even though she's not allowed to consummate that marriage, why in the world would the marriage to a Kohen, per se, take her out of her existing heter to eat truma? And therefore, Rabbi Meir, your logic doesn't follow. Omar Rabbi Elazar, Omar Rabbi Oshaya. Pitzua daka Kohen. Now, let's imagine a case of a Kohen who has a genital problem. So pitzua daka, either his testicles are wrecked, they've been crushed, or his penis was broken or cut. In a case, and this is again a change that we're going to have to make in the girsa. So the halacha is anyone who is in that position, in being genitally maimed, is not allowed to marry into the Kahal Hashem, right? So he's not allowed to marry anybody, l'chor. And now in this case, you've got a Kohen. Now the girsa that we have again is who was Mekadesh Abat Yisrael. This makes no sense either. And this was one of the reasons that Rashi had to learn the whole sugya the way he did. That Kedusha Rishut meant a Yisrael who marries a Yisrael, which was crazy. And the questions on it are obvious. So here too, there is a girsa change. Petsu Adaka Shekidesh Bat Kohen is what it should say. Not Shekidesh Bat Yisrael. Okay. So now here's the problem. This Petsua Daka Kohen never slept with this Bat Kohen. And up until this time, this Bat Kohen has been able to eat truma, right? Okay, so now if he does sleep with her after giving her kiddushin, he is going to passel her from the kahuna because she slept with a pitsua daka, which is an iser to sleep with. And we find that anytime we have a relationship to somebody who is posel, in the bia itself is posel, so now the woman herself becomes psula. So now, and this is the Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, it's exactly there the same machlokas that we would have had between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar, right? Because currently he has not slept with her. And therefore, since she was eating truma till now, she's only mishtameret to be a psula. So it's the same thing, right? And therefore, according to Rabbi Meir, who says that just the very fact that she has been set up for bia psula, that would be a psula, a complete bia psula, midiraita, and the halacha would be, which is the case over here, just like the almana to the kohen gadol, or the grusha was waiting for a bia psula, that would be the end, right? That's what they say. So then the same thing should be true over here, according to Rabbi Meir. She is mishtameret for a bia psula. And according to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, who say that a mishtameret for bia psula midiraita is nonetheless ochelet, so then what's the problem? Here too, she hasn't actually slept with this guy, and therefore she is still kshera. So why would we say she's asura? Seems to follow very clearly. Now, please pay attention to who said this. It was Reb Hoshaya who said this. That turns out to be important, right? So it's Reb Hoshaya who claims that the din of a pitsua daka would be comparable to the din of the amora l'kohen gadol and the grusha to a kohen hadid, right? Now the Gemara says, but that does not necessarily follow. Why? Because mimai, why do you say this, Reb Hoshaya? Dilma ad kan lo kabi Reb Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. Why did Reb Elazar, Rabbi Shimon say that she's allowed to continue to eat truma when she is arusa to a kohen gadol as an almana or to a kohen hadid as a grusha? That's because the very kohen that she is engaged to, remember I'm using engaged as arusa, it's not an accurate translation, but it's easier to express. So the kohen that she's engaged to, if he would be engaged to a normal woman, a bas yisrael, he would be able to give her truma on the basis of this arrangement, right? On the basis of this marriage. And therefore, in this case, since he has not actually slept with her and he didn't ruin her, so why should he get in the way of her eating truma? That's what Reb Elazar, Rabbi Shimon said. But in this case, where this kohen is a pitsua daka, he can't marry anybody to be able to feed them truma. So therefore, because by the time he sleeps with them, which is, makes them a nesua, and that's when we give truma, he is already making them a chalala, because now they're going to be pasul the moment that he sleeps with them, because it's a bia psula. So what makes you think that Reb Elazar, Rabbi Shimon would have allowed a kohen like that, who does not have the power to be machil betruma? Why in the world would you, Reb Hoshaya, assert that Reb Elazar, Rabbi Shimon would say, even in that case, the fact that he's married to her allows her to continue to eat truma? Not true. Hacha de'ein lo la'achil b'mokom acher. He never would be able to give anybody to eat truma. Therefore, maybe even Reb Elazar and Rabbi Shimon agree with Rabbi Meir that over here, he does not allow her to continue to eat truma. Now, I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, what do you mean he doesn't have the power? Of course he does. He could always go ahead and marry the daughter of Gerim, right? Because the only issur over here for a pitsua daka to marry is not that a pitsua daka can't marry anybody. It says he can't marry into the Kahal Hashem. Now, he might hold, as we're going to see later on, that in the event that we have a Gioret or Bat Gioret, is not considered to be a Kahal Hashem. And therefore, she is allowed to marry the Betsua Daka. Fine. So then he would be able to give her truma to eat. In this case, he is not about to marry a woman like that. He's about to marry a woman that he would pasul if he sleeps with her. Okay, so that's called mishtameret lebia asura. And according to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, that would be perfectly okay, unless he actually does sleep with her, right? So that's what you'll try to tell me, that Rav Hoshaya considers this case to be exactly the same as the case of a normal Kohen who is not a Betsua Daka, who is engaged to a woman who is Asura to the Kohuna, either an Amon HaKohen Gadol or a Grush HaKohen Hedyot, right? So maybe that's what you'll tell me. You can't tell me that. And I'll tell you why. Because the whole idea over here we're trying to explain is, why did Rav Hoshaya think that the same machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon with the Kohen that is going to marry the Almana, that would apply to the Kohen Betsua Daka? And you're trying to answer this according to Rav Hoshaya. The problem is that Rabbi Yochanan asked Rav Hoshaya personally, in a different context, what will be the din? So, mi boy boy la Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Hoshaya, what is the halacha? Is a Kohen who is a Betsua Daka, is he allowed to marry a Bat Gerim? We'll see what Bat Gerim means. And Rav Hoshaya did not answer him. So obviously that means Rav Hoshaya himself. Now please note that there are two separate issues here. And we're going to have to actually tease them apart. One is, if he is a Betsua Daka, let's ignore the fact that he's a Kohen. One is, can a Betsua Daka marry a Bat Gerim? Meaning, is that considered to be lo yavo Betsua Daka bekal Hashem or not? That's one question. The other question is, a Kohen who becomes a Betsua Daka, he no longer has the option to marry the women that would normally be ru'uyot for Kedushas Kahuna, because of the fact that he's a Betsua Daka, and even if he weren't a Kohen, he would be usher to marry a woman as a Betsua Daka, right? So now the question is, does that affect his status as a Kohen? Does it reduce the level of his Kedusha, since he, after all, is now a Balmum? This is all from this week's parasha note, right? Since he's now a Balmum, and he also is unable to marry the women that the Kohen has to marry, so perhaps that Kohen is allowed to marry even a woman who would normally be psula lekuhuna. That's a different issue. Now, both of those issues are involved here, as we're going to see. Rabbi Yochanan asked Rav Hoshaya, is it permissible or not for a Kohen who is a Betsua Daka to marry a Bat Gerim, which is, you are assuming, after all, that he would be able to be machil betruma in that case. But the problem is that Rav Hoshaya was unwilling to tell Rabbi Yochanan that he's even allowed to marry a Bat Gerim. So obviously Rav Hoshaya could not have been talking about a case where he did marry a Bat Gerim, and because of that, or where he could marry a Bat Gerim, and because of that, we're considering it to be the same machlokas as a normal Kohen who's not a Betsua Daka, who could certainly be machil someone else. So don't try to tell me that Rav Hoshaya thinks he can be machil someone else because he could always go ahead and marry a Bat Gerim. Not true, because Rav Hoshaya didn't say that it was mutter. So now how do you explain it? How do you make this weird comparison between the machlokas Rabbi Meir on one hand and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon on the other hand, about the Mishnah, where over there the Mishnah is talking about a perfectly normal, healthy Kohen who is in a state of a relationship which, if it's consummated, will be a big no-no, whether we say a Mishtameret Labi Apsula is possible. I don't understand the comparison. Over here, the fact that he's a Betsua Daka, irregardless of whether he's a Kohen, he's not allowed to marry anybody, and therefore he can't be Machal Betruma. So what the heck is the comparison? Says the Gemara, two possible solutions to that. Okay? Itmar. Abaya says, I'll give you an answer. It's very simple. There are comparable cases because the Betsua Daka, imagine a case like this. A Kohen was perfectly normal. He marries a wonderful girl. They've been living together for 20 years. She's been eating truma because he was machil her betruma, and he has a terrible automobile accident in which his testicles are crushed. Now what? Now he's not allowed to continue sleeping with her because he's maimed genitally, right? But she continues to eat truma in that case until he actually would sleep with her, and then he would potzel her. So therefore, says Abayim, there does have a theoretical potential of continuing to feed truma, because ho'ilu ma'achila, he'll continue to give his wife truma below yida'ah if he never went ahead and slept with her after he became a betzua da'aka. So therefore, he's the same as any other kohen. Rava says, that's not a good answer, but there is a good answer. The good answer is that he can still be ma'achil truma, not to a woman, because he's not allowed to marry a woman, but he can be machil truma to his avadim, right? So if he has an eved or a shivcha knanit, he's machil them truma. And therefore, you can't say that this is not comparable to the case in the Mishnah because this kohen can never be machil truma. It's not true. He's machil truma just like any other kohen. He's just not machil truma to a wife because he's not allowed to marry her. Now, why doesn't Abaya like Rava's approach, which seems to be cleaner? I mean, then to say the case is if you were already married, it was already Malka Batruma. Well, because Abaya says you can't make a comparison of a Kenyan Kaspo, of an Eved or a Shivcha, to a Kenyan of Ishut. We're talking about over here the relationship of marriage is a different type of relationship, and therefore it still is a valid objection to compare the two cases, the case of the Mishnah to a case of a Betzua Daka, to say, what do you mean? He can't feed another woman. That's why I, Abaye, had to come up with a case where he could feed a woman. And indeed, he can. And that is, maybe for 10 years, he remains married to his original wife. And during that 10 years, he has not had relations with her to passel her below yida'ah. And during those entire 10 years, he's been feeding her truma. Is that not a valid case? Yes. Okay, so therefore, says Abaya, he does have the theoretical potential of being machal truma. That's why I like my case better. Because lo yafina kinyan de ishut mi kinyan de avadim. They're two completely different worlds. Whereas Rava says, look, your case is not useful. Because your case is a case where before he became a Betzua Daka, he was already being Machil Betruma. Now, that's not the case that Rav Hoshaya gave. Rav Hoshaya was speaking about a Kohen who starts off as a Betzua Daka, and now the question is whether he makes it impossible for his wife to eat, because he's Mishtamer to be a Betzua. Okay, and you're telling me, well, he has a theoretical possibility in the case he was already, that's not what we're talking about. And therefore, it's different to be machil someone who was eating before the problem than being machil someone after the problem. Now, we know Abaya's opinion about that because we had it yesterday. Abaya says, don't give me that stuff. You cannot make an argument that because you once ate, therefore, you could continue to eat, and there the kohen is being machil. There's no such argument, and I'll prove it to you. This idea that because you already ate, you continue eating, is simply not true. And I'll prove it to you. Because if you don't agree with me that shekvar achla is a non-starter, lo amrinan, if you're not going to agree with me, and you're going to say, no, it's very important. She already started eating, she continues to eat. So like I said yesterday, according to that kind of logic, if a Bat Yisrael goes ahead, marries a Kohen, and she's been eating truma, and now her husband dies, can she eat truma, continue to eat truma? The answer is no, she cannot continue to eat truma unless she has a child. But then she's eating the truma because of the child. So therefore, you see that the fact that you did eat truma has nothing to do with your current status. So a bat Yisrael shenisait l'kohen umit. According to you, she continued to eat truma shekvar achla, which is not true. Says Rava, what kind of argument is that, for heaven's sakes? In that case, the kohen died, right? So therefore, there's no longer any kinyan. How could a non-kinyan be ma'achil if the Torah only allowed the kinyan to be ma'achil? Kinyan kaspo there, hu yochalbo, right? But over a year, the Kohen who became a Bitsua Daka, his Kenyan is still there. And as long as he doesn't sleep with her, he does not passel her. And therefore, I stick to my argument. Anyway, getting back to Rav Hoshaya, what are the issues in that question where Rabbi Yochanan asked Rav Hoshaya, can a Kohen who is a Ptsua Daka marry a Bat Gerim and feed her Truma? That was the question. Now, that involves a number of different issues. So, Ptsua Daka Kohen, Shenasa Bat Gerim, Mao Shiachilena B'Truma. Now, what happened is that Rav Hoshaya did not respond at all. Ishtik, V'lo Amalu V'lo Mide, he refused to answer Rabbi Yochanan and pretended he didn't hear the question. Then somebody else walks into the Beis HaMedrash, a great man, another great man, Lesof Atagava Rabba Achrina, and asked a different question. And Rav Hoshaya was very kind to him and related to the question and answered. Now, who was that other great man? That was Reish Lakish. So Rabbi Yehuda Nesia, who saw this happening, he goes to Rav Hoshaya and he says, how come when Rabbi Yochanan asks you a question, you ignore him? And when Reish Lakish asks you a question, you answer him. Is Rabbi Yochanan not considered to be a great man that you didn't answer him? Alter Rabbi Yochanan lav gavar rabahu? Omar lei, so Rav Hoshaya said, well, he asked me something that there's no way to answer. So I'm going to make a fool of myself. I don't know the answer. You can't answer that question. At least I can't. The Bach changes it to I can't. The way that he says it is more mashma, that it does not have an answer. And because of that, he shouldn't have asked it. That's the simple mashma. And therefore, wasn't a suitable question. The Bach's Girsa does not explain why he would not have responded and say, I don't know. You're not ishtik if it's just that you don't know. Okay, now the question is, can we find an answer? Says the Gemara, well, let's see. First, let's define the question. Now, defining the question is really critical over here because there are a number of important different issues, as I mentioned earlier. And these different issues has to do with two completely different questions. So we have one of the issues is a Ptsua Daka. Kohen becomes a Ptsua Daka. He now is unable to work in the Beis HaMikdash. He's unable to marry a woman that is suitable for the kuna. Has that affected the Kedusha of the kuna? If it's affected the Kedusha of the kuna, so then he would have no problem of marrying into a area where normally a Kohen wouldn't marry, which may be Bat Gerim. There's another question. He's a Ptsua Daka. A Ptsua Daka in general does not have a right to marry in the Kahal Hashem. So then that involves the question about whether we would call this Kahal Gerim Kahal Hashem. Now, those are two completely unrelated issues. And therefore, says the Gemara, okay, let's first tease apart those issues, because when it comes to the question about the issue of the kahuna, does he retain the kedusha of the kahuna or not? Well, okay, let me tell you something. That is a machlokas. Who is he asking the question according to? Ila Rabbi Yehuda. If he's asking the question, Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda, and we're going to see this question later on in our Masechet, another 20 daf from here. The question is, does a Kohen, a Ptsua Daka, retain Kedusha or not? So if you're going Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda, which is the other question, and that is the Shaila of what the din is of this Bat Gerim, and we'll have to define exactly what we mean by the Bat Gerim. So then, according to Rabbi Yehuda, he holds that a Kohen, as we'll see, is not allowed to marry the daughter of a Ger, right? But he also holds that Gerim are considered to be Kahal Hashem. and therefore they're not allowed to marry a Bitsu Hadaka. Okay, so now if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, I don't care what your question is. One way or the other, this is not going to work, whether you hold that a Kohen Bitsu Hadaka has retained his level of Kedusha Sakuna or not. Because Bein Mekedusha Tekoi, Bein Lav Bekedusha Koi, whether he is considered to be a Kohen Bekedusha, there's still, or not, there's still no way that he could be feeding Truma. Let me explain to you why. If he's a full Kohen, so then there's no way that he can do it, because Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion, Bat Ger Zachar Kibat Halal Zachar, that if he is, this child, is the daughter of a male Ger, now we're going to talk about later, okay, but what if the person that he's married to is just, he married a regular Yisraelite. That we'll talk about. But the daughter of a Ger Zachar has the same din as the daughter of a Halal. So the daughter of a Halal is not allowed to marry because she has a din of a Halala. And therefore, he would not be allowed to marry her. So he couldn't feed her Truma anyway. Now, there's a very important additional point over here that I want to bring up, even though it's a tangential point, but it is a brilliantly important point. Rashi says that the problem would be is that if he sleeps with her, he makes her a halala. And if he makes her a halala, then she will not be allowed to eat truma. So therefore, how could he marry her and have her eat truma? Now, the obvious question with that Rashi is that what in the world does it have to do with sleeping with her? If you're telling me that a bat, she has a din of a bat halal is a halala, and a halala is not allowed to eat truma. Am I crazy? So what does it have to do with sleeping with her and making her halala? If she's a bat of a halal, she is a halala. So something is very strange going on over here. So what exactly did you mean when you said that it would necessitate sleeping with her? So here there is a fascinating, it's very similar to one of the Maamorim of Reb Chaim Brisker, is that the mocker of the Isser of eating truma is bat kohen ki tiyele ish zar. So the Gemara darshins from there, kivanshin nivala lepsula pasla. That means that the isser of eating truma, as opposed to the isser of marriage, is only a halala who became a halala through an act of intercourse. Which means that if she was a halala given as a halala, such as over, she's the bat of a halal. She's a halala, right? She's not allowed to marry Kohen, but she is allowed to eat truma. That's what's so brilliant about it. But if that Kohen sleeps with her, then she's not allowed to eat truma, because then he turned her into a halala plus, meaning that now she's a halala through a sexual relationship. There she can't eat truma. So the very fact that he took the halala, he now transfers her into being asura to eat truma. Anyway, that's why Rashi says this case. And this, by the way, is very useful in the other thing that we just spoke about. It says he's allowed to give avadav v'shivchotav haknaani. Now, isn't a shivcha a zona? So how can a zona eat truma? Remember, we said before, every shivcha has the din of a zona. And his zona is pasulakuna. So she should not be allowed to eat truma anyway. You see from the Gemara that she is allowed to eat truma. How is that? Because she never slept with a kohen as a zona, and therefore she never became pasul to achilas truma. Lovely. Okay, so the whole sugya is basically saying this same idea. Okay, so let's talk it out again, because it's a little bit complicated because of the elements that interrelate. So now, according to Rabbi Yehuda, on the one side, I couldn't care less how we determine the Kedusha of the Kohen. Whether he is Kadosh B'Kohuna or not, it wouldn't work out. If he is Kadosh B'Kohuna, then he's not allowed to marry this woman. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, Bat Ger Zachar is a din of a halal. And if you're telling me that the Kohen does not have a din of Kedushas Kohen, anyway, he's not allowed to marry this woman. He's not allowed to marry her because he is a Bitsua Daka, which has nothing to do with his being a Kohen. And a Bitsua Daka is not allowed to marry into the Kal Hashem. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, the relationship to Kahal Geirim is exactly the same as the Kal Hashem to anyone else. In which case, forget about the problem of the Kahuna. He wouldn't be able to sleep with this woman and therefore to give her truma because he is a Bitsua Daka. So scratch that, and there's no way to ask the question according to Rabbi Yehuda. All right? Now, what if he's asking the question Aliba the Rabbi Yossi, who argues on Rabbi Yehuda? Well, it would not make the slightest bit of difference, because according to Rabbi Yossi, it's the other direction. Whether he is considered to be a Kohen with a full Kedusha or not, she would be allowed. Why is that? Because Rabbi Yossi holds, the Omar, if you're going to tell me that he is B'Kedusha Sekoi, she's allowed to eat because he holds, even a ger who's married to a Gioret, his daughter is perfectly kosher to the Kahuna, and therefore, he's allowed to marry her. If he's not considered to be the Kedusha, which is just the other way of saying, well, what about the idea of his being a Bitsua Daka? Well, Rabbi Yossi holds that Kahal Geirim is not considered to be Kahal. Now, note that these two shitas go in opposite directions, and there's no contradiction between them. We've teased apart the question of the heter to a Kohen from the question of Kahal Hashem. Those are two different issues. Whether Kahal Geirim is considered to be Kahal Hashem or not is one issue. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it is considered to be a Kahal Hashem. According to Rabbi Yossi, he holds Kahal Geirim is not considered to be Kahal Hashem. On the other hand, in terms of the Isurim to a Kohen, it's the opposite. Rabbi Yehuda holds that there is a din of halalut, so it's a din of bat halal zakar, it would affect the kahuna. Over there, when it comes to Rabbi Yehuda would hold that kahal gerim is ikri kahal. Rabbi Yossi holds it's not ikri kahal, says that nonetheless, it's perfectly kosher to the kahuna. So don't get confused by these two issues. Now that we're able to tease them apart, we're taking both into consideration. So therefore, Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda, it doesn't matter, because even if he is a Kohen, a full Kohen, so then, as we said, he's not even allowed to marry her. And even if he's not, then since, according to him, the halacha would be that Kahal Geirim is called Kahal, he's not allowed to marry because he's a Bitsua Daka, not because of the Kuhuna. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's exactly the opposite. His Bitsua Daka circumstances actually make it impossible for him to marry, according to this, if you would hold Aliba de Rabbi Yossi, so then his Bitsua Daka would not affect his ability to marry into the Kahal Geirim, because he holds Kahal Geirim is not Ikri Kahal Hashem. And if he does have the Kedusha of the Kuna, Rabbi Yossi, oh, she's perfectly kosher to the Kuna. So no matter how you look at it, there would still be no problem of eating in this case. Okay, so therefore, it would appear that there is no way to ask this question in an intelligent manner. So what was Rabbi Yochanan asking Rabbi Yoshaya about this case? Ah, says the Gemara, there's got to be a third option. And that third option is the following Tana. That's not. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, Isha bat gerim, lo tinaseh lekuna ad shetehi imam Yisrael. So what he holds is that if a woman comes from a kahal gerim, then if the mother is completely Jewish, so then she can get married, the daughter of that union can get married to the kahuna. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan was asking Rabbi Hoshaya, is this, you're telling me that it makes a difference who the mother is, but I don't know what that difference is. One thing that difference could make, because remember, Now we have separated out the concept of the Kedusha of the Kahuna, which is Kashrut to marry into the Kahuna, and the concept of the Kedushas Yisrael, which is the question of being Mikahal Hashem, correct? Therefore, says Rabbi Yochanan, here's my problem. If you have a Jewish mother, what has changed, according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov? Is what's changed the fact that now you can marry a Kohen, but it does not affect the din of being the Kal Hashem? Or just the opposite? Maybe it makes her more Kedosha, which means that now she's Asura to the Petsua Daka, and therefore you can't eat Truma. So now, actually, it turns out that if the halacha is in terms of the kahuna, and then the Jewish mother makes her more kosher to a queen, so then the halacha would be she's allowed to eat Truma because she's married to a queen. But if you're telling me that it's her own Kedusha of Yisrael that ends up being mitosefet la, so then he, as, forget about the kuna, he as a petsua daka is not allowed to marry her, and then she's not allowed to eat truma. That's my question. So now we understand what the question was. And let's see, says the Gemara, if we can figure out the answer, even though Rav Hoshaya couldn't figure out the question, the answer, tashma, ki ata Rav Acha bar Chinana midaroma, ata baita matin tibiyade. So when Rav Acha bar Chinana came from the Darom and learned from the Rabbeinu Sheba Darom, he brought a braita back with him. And it said in this braita, how do we know minayin lipsu adaka kohen shana sabat gerim? How do we know that in a case, our case, wow, a pitsu adaka kohen who goes out and marries a bat gerim, that he is able to be machala betruma? Because the Torah puts in an additional word that's unnecessary there. It says, v'kohen ki yikne nefesh kinyan kaspo. Now, what is that word, the nefesh kinyan kaspo? Hu yochalbo. That comes to add the halacha that this nefesh means, instead of kohen ki yikne kinyan kaspo, including the bat gerim. So if she's married to a kohen who is a betzua daka, indeed the halacha is that it was kashrut, that was nitosefet, and that kashrut means that she can marry a kohen, and he's allowed to feed her truma, but not kedusha mitosefet, because he's not an isra on the petsua daka. Now, I'll prove to you that this is the answer, I'll leave it to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, because who do you think the Braisa is addressing? We've already shown the Braisa can't be going according to Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda, remember, said that it doesn't matter whether it's a din in Kedusha or whether it's not in a din in Kedusha, you would never be able to eat, because either there's an isser of marrying as a petsua daka, or because there's an isser of a kohen marrying a chalala. And according to Rabbi Yosei, why do I need a pasuk to tell me something that's not even a question? According to Rabbi Yosei, bein b'kedusha tekoi, bein la b'kedusha tekoi, you will always be allowed to eat, according to him, because there's no problem of the petsua daka, and there's no problem in marrying the bat ger who is not a chalala. So there's only one person at this braita could be going to, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. So you see from here, your question, I'll leave it to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, has a perfectly clear answer. The braita says yes, shmamina, and that answers Rabbi Yochanan's question. Kashrut itos vaba, she has become more kesherah to a kohen by having a Jewish mother, but has not become more kahal Hashem, and therefore achla, even though the kohen himself is a psua daka. Shema mina, indeed, that's the answer to Rabbi Yochanan's question. Okay, now, another fascinating question. Itmar. Rav Amar, how about, this is how Rashi understands this question. How about a woman who goes to a chuppah with the kohen, but never accepted the erusin? So that's my issue. So, yesh chupa lipsulot or not? So, Rav says, there is such a thing as a chupa having a, Tosus understands Rashi as meaning that this is going according to Bani Omar, this is a big question, whether chuppah itself is a type of kinyan, or whether chuppah is merely the consummation of the original erusin, and therefore it's built on the erusin. But if you just went to a chuppah and you never were mekadesh the isha, the chuppah wouldn't do a darn thing. So according to Rav, the chuppah is meaningful. Yesh chuppah, even though she's psula. Whereas according to Shmuel, ein chuppah lepsulot. So over here, if there was no erusin, again, that's the way Rashi is learning it, it doesn't have any meaning at all, said Shmuel, because you never were mekadesh. Shmuel continues on to say, and you should know that Abba, remember he used to call Rav Abba, and that was a, remember that there was a Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos all over, we've had this. Why does he call him Abba? According to Rashi, he calls him Abba, you know, as just like a derech kavod. So when someone is chashev, you call him as if it's your own Abba. The Sfarim do this even today. They will call it someone chashev Abba. But Tosfos learns Adarabba from many Gemaras and Tamashma that Abba was Rav's name. And that it, Rav, he was only called Rav because of the chashivas of the Rav. Okay, but in any event, Shmuel says you should know that even though Rav claimed that yesh chuppah lepsulot, he would agree that in the event that the chuppah was with a girl who was less than 3 years old, she is continuing to eat the truma if she was a bas kohen. Why? Because remember that a girl who is less than three does not have a vagina. That's the halacha. And therefore, in the same way that a male less than nine is incapable of intercourse, a girl less than three is incapable of intercourse. The particular body parts have a different name, so to speak, in terms of that age. And therefore, it's not nogea the halacha. So since even if this Kohen would have actually slept with this girl under the age of three, it wouldn't have made any difference. So he agrees that in that case, of course, the chuppah can't be more than an actual bia. So hoyel ve'ein la bia, ein la chuppah. I say Rav agrees with me in that case. And Rava said, for sure, the Mishnah makes that very clear. What Mishnah are we talking about? Because the Mishnah in Nida says that bacha lo shanim v'yom echad mitkadeshet bevia. So if she's above 3 years of age, then you can give her kiddushin through intercourse because that is a possibility. And what's more, if a yavam had taken this girl and she was 3 years old, then that was fine. He now has made her a complete yavama, and therefore she's considered to be married to him, and so on. Obviously, the case over here would have had to have been that the father, who had a right to marry off his daughter, was mekabel kedushin for her, and now she's 3 years old, and because of that, if her husband died, the yavam now is taking her completely. If the yavam wants to pater afterwards, there's no need for chalitza. A get will pater her. She paters any other women in the family, etc., etc. It's perfectly normal bia for yiba, as long as she's over three. What's more, if she is a nida, oh, sorry, I skipped. What's more, if somebody sleeps with her, he would be chayiv because of an eishes ish. That's a normal case of adultery. She's fully married, and he is fully having intercourse with a married woman. It's not his wife. What's more, if she's a nida, the din is, again, all of this is from the parshas that are relevant, right? If she's a nida, so then he becomes tamei with her nidas. V'tihi nidata alav, he becomes tamei with her nidas. Wow. Because he slept with her. And therefore, what is that tumah? Now, this is important to remember. Her tumah is not exactly the same as the tumas nida, but it's somewhat similar. A nida is metame mishkav u'moshav. And the normal din of mishkav u'moshav is the old princess and the pea story, right? so that anything, no matter how many levels down, anything that is underneath that which it was that the Nida sat on will become Tameh. And if you now take out the bottom mattress of the 496 mattresses that were underneath, and that made her very unhappy, this princess, because there was a pea under that mattress. But any event, if you sit on that mattress, you will become Tameh, because Mishka V'Moshav is Metameh Adam. However, there's one case where Mishkav U'Moshav is not Metameh Adam, and that's where the Mishkav U'Moshav was Tameh because of a Boel Nida. So a Boel Nida is only Metameh Mishkav U'Moshav to the same extent that a Zav who moves something would be Metameh, and that is, it does become Tameh, but it can only become Tameh to be Metameh Ochlin U'Mashkin. So it has a din of Rishon LeTumah. Fine. Again, this is tangential. But the point is that having slept with her is like sleeping with any other Nida. So she would be Metameh Zbala, Metameh Mishkav Tachton Ke'elyon. Remember that the Tuma of a Nida is possible even at birth, if you recall, because the mother's hormones will often swell the breasts of a child, even a male child, will create a problem with zivas for the child who will be vaginally bleeding. Again, these are hormonal issues that are absorbed from the mother's blood. But the Torah is marbe, even a one-day-old female can be a Nida or can be a Zava. The thing is, though, that if she is that young, not having a vagina, technically, she can't transfer that tumor to a male through intercourse. That's the difference. It's not that she needs to be 3-year-old to be a Nida. She needs to be 3-year-old to transfer that Nidas to be Ru'uya Labia. That's the point. And what's more, if she gets married to a Kohen and she's over 3, then that means she can eat Truma, because now that Kohen is sleeping with her and creating the Heterfrachilas Truma. What's more, is Bo Alechad Echad Min Apsulim. Let's say that a Nasin, a Mamzer, a Halal sleeps with her. So then she becomes possible from eating any Truma, even the Truma of her father, the Kohen. That's all. Now, therefore, I say that Bat Shalosh Shanim V'Yom Echad is limited here. You must be 3 years old in order to be possible Bebia. And therefore, she can be Pasul Bechuppah. And that's what it's referring to over here. Her father was Moser her Bechuppah. This is the way some of the Rishonim learn. She learns that it's just an extension, Mitzad HaSvara, that Rava is making. But you see from here, that less than Bat Shalosh Shanim V'Yom Echad, who is not Psula from Bia, is not Pasul from Bechuppah. Shema Mina, and that proves that less than 3 is exactly as Shmuel said, a chuppah has no meaning. Omar Rami Bar Chama, no. Yesh chuppah lepsulot, and banu lemachloket Rabbi Meir v'Rabbi Elazar v'Rabbi Shimon. The point over here, I don't care. That's what yesh chuppah means. In other words, you're raising the issue of yesh chuppah lepsulot. It makes absolutely no difference. Because the reality in this case is that the meaning of the chuppah is directly part of the machlokas in our Mishnah. And that's why we've brought this up. How is that? Because it's very simple. According to Rabbi Meir, the fact that you've set up a woman for an illicit act of intercourse is enough to passel her. Okay. So according to him, that kedushin passels her. So then chuppah for sure will passel her, because if she's at a chuppah, then she's waiting basically even beyond erisin, right? Chuppah is taking her into his home, whether figuratively or literally. That cheder yichud is meant to be his home. Whereas according to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, they say kedushin makes no difference, so the chuppah also makes no difference. But the whole idea here is a function, not of the technical kinyan of the chuppah, because that's irrelevant. The whole issue over here is the setup. That's the issue. So therefore, if you hold a setup, it's significant. So the chuppah is significant as a setup, like Rabbi Meir. If you hold that a setup is insignificant, which is Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, then a setup of a chuppah is also insignificant. That's what I say, says Rami Bar Chama. And the Gemara immediately attacks this. Why does that follow? Not necessarily at all. Umimai. I can show you that they may be very different, because maybe Rabbi Meir only said there that Eris and Pasos are, because it's not only a setup, it's an actual Kenyan to him with Kedushin. Masha Einken Chuppah is not considered to be Kedushin. If your Chuppah isn't Kena, then maybe even Rabbi Meir would agree. A setup, just because it's a setup without any Kenyan, that's not going to make any difference. Or I could say the opposite. I could say, even according to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, who normally don't care if it's a setup, that's only if it's a setup of Arison, because engagement is supposedly not a setup for cohabitation, correct? That's the whole idea of Arison. We're giving you time before we take you to bed. But that's Kedushin. Kedushin is not immediately suggestive of Bia. But chuppah is very suggestive of bia, because that's the whole point. So a chuppah, which is kriva l'bia, even Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, might be moda that indeed it would pasul. And therefore, we do not believe Rami Bar Chama, who claims that the issue in our case is defined by the machlokas in our Mishnah between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. We shall continue this exciting exploration of the impact of a chuppah tomorrow, assuming that you're able to sit at the edge of your chair that long. If not, you have my full permission to prepare the daf fully, as you should be doing anyway, and peek ahead to see the next exciting episode. Meanwhile, I will see you, Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow, if the good Lord grants it, the same time, 7:50.